concluding chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understanding the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. And see, I am sending upon you what the Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany. And lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God.
A passage of scripture I want to share with you this morning. It comes from the book of Acts, beginning in chapter 1, verse 1. "In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." My friend and yours, Roger Isom, is a teacher at Crossroads, the alternative school here in Burleson. I find the name of the school interesting, and while I cannot be certain as to the origin of that name, I imagine it has something to do with the place in life that its students find themselves when they enter its halls. For many, they are at a juncture in their lives where they must choose. Choose whether to continue the path on which they have been, which likely will lead to fewer choices later in their lives about their future, and possibly self-destruction. Or they can choose a new direction in which they remold their life into one with hope and opportunity and purpose. They stand at a crossroads and must choose. At the end of Luke, which was the passage that Clint read for us and the passage I read from the beginning of Acts, the disciples are at a crossroads in their faith journey. They have been disciples, students, followers, learners, but soon they are to become leaders, teachers, elders, and evangelists. They will be the founders and pillars of all of Christianity. Some may have been excited about the new call that lay before them, others nervous, impatient, stressed, or downright scared. But for all of them, Jesus told them to wait. He told them to hold tight for a bit, and then when it was time, let God take the lead. Now, whether they really wanted to or not, they agreed to do as they were asked. They stayed in Jerusalem, and they waited. While they were waiting, the scriptures tell us, they were continually praising God. They worshiped and prayed. They prayed with honesty and earnesty that God would reveal God's will for them and they would be faithful and obedient to God's call. They didn't have a meeting, take a vote, and decide to just go on ahead with their own plan. They waited and they listened. They were open and willing, and when the Spirit was poured over them and God's plan revealed, they were ready. They went with it and were on the ball. I can imagine that the waiting must have been quite difficult for those in the group who have a personality like mine. Patience has never been my strong suit. I don't like to wait. A dear friend once said of me that my tendency is to go ready, fire, aim. Well, maybe I'm not quite that bad anymore, but waiting is still very hard. I can remember how excited and surprised and amazed I was when I found out that I was pregnant with Joshua. I relished the growth and development, the sonograms, the wiggly baby inside, but then by about 30 weeks, I was tired of waiting. I had gained way too much weight. I was uncomfortable and was ready for this child to get out of my body and be born. Those last few weeks were hard times for me. But those are some of the most crucial weeks that ensure full development of lungs and the nervous system and many other aspects of growth and development. They were hard weeks of waiting, but they were very fruitful and productive. And the past 8 months have been very frustrating, exhausting, and sometimes agonizing as we waited for our house to sell, waited to come and live in the community that I serve. But God's timing brought us to a home and a neighborhood that has been a blessing, a good school for James, and a joy that is even sweeter after such a period of anticipation. Waiting is hard, but there's a difference between doing nothing, perpetuating the status quo, and active waiting. The first two, doing nothing and perpetuating the status quo, often lead to complacency, inertia, and eventually death. But active waiting involves listening, praying, openness, willing to let God lead. It requires that we be ready and obedient when the Spirit calls. I believe that within our wider cultural context, but more specifically here at First Christian Church, this is where we are, at a crossroads. There is one direction we can take, where we continue to do the same things, the things we like and know and that make us comfortable. We can sing our same songs and pray our same prayers and have our same activities. We will be safe and predictable. The things will only stay the same for a short while. Then comes complacency, indifference, boredom, decline. Or there is this other path. Now, with this one, we can only see two, maybe three steps ahead of us. What lies before us is unknown and unfamiliar. It requires of us to do new things, pray new prayers, sing new songs, learn new ways of being and doing and witnessing for Christ. But it also holds within its path the potential for revival, renewal, rebirth, new life, and a flourishing faith community where growth is happening in countless ways. Waiting is hard. The unknown is unfamiliar and even a little scary. If you don't believe me, ask the disciples. I'm sure they'd tell you the same. But Christ will send the Spirit with power and might, and with a call and a vision and a direction. So the question is, will we hear the rushing wind when it blows? Will we see the tongues of flame? Will we be too busy doing our usual things to notice? Or will we be ready when the Spirit calls us?